well. So we're very honored to have Consul General Kato with Consul General Motohiko Kato.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the great introduction. Yes, I'm in Japan Foreign Service. Almost 30 years have passed since I joined the Japan Foreign Service. Over the past 30 years, I have had wonderful contact and experiences with this great country. Number one, when I was a young diplomat, I could study at the Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania. It's a good college. I could learn many things about this country. But what I learned was, of course, the importance of debate and volunteers in this country. And number two, yes, in 2004, I voluntarily agreed to serve in Afghanistan. It's Kabul, it's a difficult place, harsh environment. I had to use a plural of the vehicle, always bodyguard accompanied me with machine gun. But I met with the wonderful American diplomat, military, and civilian people, and our embassy worked hard with the U.S. embassy in Kabul to help Afghan people. It's an unforgettable experience in my life. In 2007, I served in Japanese embassy in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is noted for the beautiful cherry blossom in the tidal region. As you may know, last year marked the 100th anniversary of Japan's gift of cherry trees to the tidal basin. So Japanese people really love the cherry blossom in full bloom. So very happy to see so many American people in Washington, D.C., in many places in this country, are enjoying the cherry blossom as a symbol of the friendship between Japan and the United States. Today, very good opportunity to talk about just three important points. Number one, I want you to understand the importance of Japan-U.S. alliance. Then number two, how our Japanese government is making an effort to revitalize the economy. We're the third largest economy in the world. Over the past 15 years, our economy is very sluggish, but I think things are changing in the right direction. So I want you to understand how our government is tackling to revitalize our economies. Number three, also, I want you to understand how our government tried to improve our just relations with our important neighboring countries. Unfortunately, due to several kind of territorial issues, still unable to establish a very stable and friendly relationship with our very, very important our neighboring countries. But I tried to tell you the facts. So it's up to you how you interpret these historical facts. So before making your own assessment, please learn just the historical facts. Oh, this is a kind of clever pop culture. Japan is not for pop cultures. Young people around the world is very much captivated by Japanese pop cultures. The Pokemon, Godzilla, and many, many other things. And wonderful thing is just young prominent people around the world are captivating by the Japanese pop culture, try to learn Japanese language. So wonderful things. Number two, Japan is a country of four distinct seasons. Japanese people recognize the seasonal transition with special emotions. People tend to think that spring is a time for the beginning of your life, and the thrive in summertime, and the bare fruits in autumn time, and the weather in winter time. Basically, our country is agriculture-based countries. So people tend to think in such a way. But anyway, cherry blossom in full bloom give us joy and hope. And people in Japan, in April, cherry blossom time, try to commit new things in April. So I want you to understand that just a beautiful, clear seasonal distinction in our countries. Our Japan is a beautiful country. It's a wedding dress of the Japanese women, the kabuki players, and the golden temple in Kyoto, one of the famous castles, and the beautiful woman is enjoying the Japanese flower arrangement. All of you like sushi, yes. So Japanese food is a very delicious food, but also very healthy food. UNESCO recently designated Japanese cuisine as a World Cultural Heritage. But my point is, very, very healthy. The people eat fish and vegetables, try to absorb protein from the soybean. Therefore, Japanese people are enjoying the longest life expectancy in the world. Women, 86. Men, 79. So enjoy your healthy eating habit. So number one, I'm going to take up the importance of Japan-US Security Alliance. First, I want you to understand the importance of just Japan-US alliance. Our alliance has lasted for over the half century because it reflects our fundamental values, such as democracy, the protection of human rights, and the rule of law, and our ability of citizens to clearly pursue their dreams. The effort of Japan and the United States in the Asia-Pacific will always be rooted in those values through our just enduring and revitalized alliance. You can see here the exact language of the critical part of the Japan-US Security Treaty. Article number 5, the United States is committed to defending Japan in the event of aggression by the foreign countries. Japan and the United States forces would respond jointly to such a threat. And under the Article 6, Japan is committed to hosting the American military bases in its territories. You can see many, many US military bases in Japan. Naval bases, Air Force bases, and Army bases, and Marine Corps bases. Especially many, many US military bases in Okinawa. This is the coverage area of the 7th Fleet. 7th Fleet. Most powerful U.S. naval capabilities. The 7th Fleet covers Asia and the Pacific area. This is the flag carrier of the 7th Fleet, the USS George Washington. The George Washington used Yokosuka as her home port. Now, United States, in the middle of the military balance toward Asia and the Pacific, you can see the strategic importance of Okinawa. From Okinawa, U.S. military forces can cover huge areas. So strategic importance of Okinawa is increasing day by day. Threat of North Korea is very serious. North Korea tried to become a nuclear weapon country. They tried to produce a small nuclear weapons and also tried to develop just a missile capabilities. It's a nightmare for America. Guam, Hawaii, Alaska, or West Coast. Going to be under the coverage of the DPRK missiles. With the small nuclear weapons, it's a nightmare for the United States. Therefore, we have to prevent North Korea becoming a nuclear weapon country. Therefore, the allies of Japan and the US is very, very important. Of course, Japan and the United States, US forces, Japanese military self-defense forces, regularly exercise just a joint military exercise to take a quick actions in the event of aggression from third countries. Also, we are very positive in peacekeeping operations. Japan's military exists strictly for self-defense purposes, as spelled out in the Japanese constitutions. Since the establishment of the Japanese self-defense forces, they have not fired a single bullet to other countries. But still, we are very much active in the international peacekeeping forces. Number one, from 2004 and 2009, 800 Japanese ground troops were sent to Iraq. They constructed road and bridge and other infrastructure, so they could accomplish the mission without suffering any casualties. Now today, our country is sending several naval vessels off the coast of Somalia. There are many, many pilots in that area. So are just the naval vessels escorting the civilian vessels of many, many countries. The number three, 350 ground troops are now in South Sudan, newly independent African countries. They are now constructing the roads in that countries. March 11, 2011, awful tsunami and earthquake disaster occurred in Japan. It claimed the lives of 20,000 people. But the United States people immediately extended big helping hand to the people in shelters. Also, US government immediately deploy 24,000 service personnel and 190 aircraft and 24 ships. This operation is called Operation Tomodachi. Tomodachi in Japanese means friends, therefore Operation Friends. Again, 24,000 military personnel, 190 aircraft and 24 ships. Your servicemen and women delivered much needed food, water, and blankets, and medical supplies to the disaster victims. And the US forces cleared airport runway, just affected by tsunami. They cleared the airport runway so that other relief plane could arrive. The aircraft carrier USS Ronald Reagan became a refueling platform for Japanese helicopters. So Operation Tomodachi is a real testament to the enduring strength of our alliance. So Japanese people will never forget the great kindness of the US people when we are in extremely difficult situations. Now, may I take up the issue of revitalizing the Japanese economies. Here, of course, the United States is the most powerful economy in the world. 22% of the global GDP with a population of 300 million people. The China, 10% of the global GDP with a population of 1.3 billion people. Japan, that's 8%, with a population of 127 million people. We are a small country. Japan is a small country. 80% of our land is a mountain area. We have no natural resources at all, but still maintain the 8% of the global GDP. And up until 2010, we were the second largest economy in the world. Together with the US, 30% of the global GDP. New cabinet, led by Prime Minister Abe, working hard to revitalize our economies. The Prime Minister Abe and his party enjoyed a landslide victory in December last year. And since they took office, things are moving in the right direction. They adopted a very aggressive economic policy called Abenomics, combination of Mr. Abe and economics. It is called Abenomics. Since they took office, stock price in Tokyo started increasing. Up. Currently, of course, there is some readjustment, but things are moving in the right direction. So Japanese business people are just regaining confidence. Now, just the Japanese economy is showing a good performance. January to April this year, 4.1% of the economic growth, and April to June, 3.8% of the economic growth. So things are changing in the right directions. And also, together with the United States and other like-minded Asian Pacific countries, we are actively participating in a so-called Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. All these countries are making enormous effort to make Asia Pacific very free and transparent trading areas. And also a new cabinet attach importance to the role of women. New cabinet is just insisting, let's work hard toward a society in which all women shines. As a matter of fact, in Japan, our population started just shrinking, especially the number of the young people are just shrinking. So do hope that the women in Japan could play a more active role in our society. Therefore, government determined to work hard to create an atmosphere conducive for the Japanese women to play a more active role. Also, in our just external policy, Japan implemented a lot of just aid projects to the developing countries to help people in these countries. But our cabinet just insisting that role of the women in the developing countries is very, very important. Therefore, first, try to extend our helping hand directly to the women, especially in Africa, women in difficult situations. Therefore, we are making enormous effort to provide the African women the good access to the medical service and the HIV and the malaria preventions. Also poverty reductions and also prevention of human trafficking. But at the same time, just a great atmosphere conducive for the African women to play a role of just entrepreneurs. That is the very basis that achieved a real sound development of the African countries. Based on that belief, we try to support the women in a difficult situation in African countries. That's our just a new challenge. Almost 68 years have passed since the end of the World War II. Japan waged the war against the United States and other countries. We had very terrible, tragic history in the past. Of course, our land is totally devastated by the war. The Japan was hit by the atomic bomb twice. After unconditional surrender to the Allied countries, Japan was placed under the occupation of the Allied forces, led by General MacArthur. 1945, Tokyo War Crime Tribunal was established. The tribunal recognized 14 Japanese as a Class A war criminals. Seven were executed by hanging. Other seven were died in prison. Then 1947, new Japanese democratic constitution was adopted. In the 1950s, safe defense forces was established. It's a very strictly defensive. Again, they have never fired a single bullet to other countries. In 1951, San Francisco Peace Treaty was signed with 46 countries. Then Japan restored independence from the Allied forces. Post-war Japan's territory is defined by the San Francisco Treaty. Japan abandoned many territories acquired before and during the war. But these abandoned by Japan was just clearly mentioned in the annex of the San Francisco Peace Treaty. Immediately after the signing of the San Francisco Peace Treaty, the Okinawa, now Senkaku is a hot issue in our relation with China, immediately brought under the US administrations. 1971, as a result of the heated negotiation with the US government, the United States decided to return Okinawa and Senkaku to Japan. So Japan restored Okinawa and Senkaku from the United States. Also 1956, we joined the United Nations. And also 1960, Japan and the United States signed a security arrangement. And you saw the exact language, critical part of the exact language, the Japanese security treaties. These are a brief history of the post-World War II. Now, Yasukuni War Shrine. It is a hot issue in our relation with China and South Korea. Yasukuni Shrine was funded by the state in 1969. At that time, Japan was also a civil war-like situation. 3 years after the end of the civil war in these countries, Japanese people could establish a new modern government. At that time, Japan divided into two camps. One was trying to stick to the very old feudalic system. The other was trying to topple that kind of old feudalic system, try to establish a new modern government. So many people lost their lives for the establishment of the new government. So that the Yasukuni Shrine was founded to honor such people who lost their lives for the establishment of the new government. So this is the beginning of the Yasukuni Shrines. Then, just as we surrendered Allied countries, new constitution. Under the new constitutions, religion and government must be separated. Therefore, after the World War II, Yasukuni Shrine was out of the coverage, out of the control of the Japanese government, become independent, just a religious entities. But the problem is, 1959, by the decision of Yaskunishline, 1,068 Class B and C war criminals were collectively shrined. Also, 1978, 14 Class A war criminals were enshrined in this shrine. This was the critical point of the Yaskun issues. So at this moment, 2.4 million war dead were enshrined in these shrines. And among other things, 2.3 war dead during World War II also enshrined in these Yaskun shrines. Then, conservative Japanese politicians are insisting, yes, just we want to honor the war dead for the 2.4 million war dead, even though 14 Class A criminals were included in the shrines. But the views are divided in our countries. Also, when Japanese justice politicians and the high-ranking government people try to visit, paid official visit to Yaskun Shrine, China and the South Korea is very, very critical, saying that the Japanese leaders, political leaders, are reluctant to accept the responsibility of the war. So this is a very controversial point. So views are divided in our country, and Chinese people and the South Korean people, very, very critical for the Japanese leaders who shall visit those Yaskun shrines. So it's up to you how to interpret these historical facts. Arlington Cemetery, yes, both Union soldiers, Confederate soldiers together buried in the cemetery. But Arlington is a cemetery, but this is a shrine. So these war dead are just honored. So this is a hot issue. But this shrine continues to exist, very much supported by the family of the war dead. It's a very strong political groups. And when just Yaskun Shrine decided to honor 14 Class A war criminals, at that time then government persuaded the Yaskun Shrine to remove the 14 Class A criminals, but they rejected by the shrine. So still, just the issue continued to exist. So this is one of the reasons why still we are unable to establish a stable and friendly relations with the South Korea and China. It's a Senkaku Island. Unfortunately, just due to this very, very tiny island, our relation with China has deteriorated. Again, our government position is, first of all, 1895, as a result of the careful survey, the Japanese government decided to incorporate Senkaku into Okinawa, Japan. Then, after the surrender to the Allied forces, Japan signed the San Francisco Peace Treaty in 1951. Again, most of Japan's territory was divided by the San Francisco Peace Treaty. But the Allied countries admitted that the Senkaku is an integral part of Japan. Then, immediately after the signing of the San Francisco Peace Treaty, Okinawa and Senkaku together abroad under the U.S. administration. I remember when I was a little boy, my father had to visit Okinawa, but he had to get passport. The dollar was circulated in Okinawa. Okinawa is really kind of like U.S. territories. But Okinawa returned, together with Senkaku, returned to Japan in 1972. Then, 1968, one of the UN committees, UN Economic Commission for Asia and the Far East, issued a report saying that it is highly likely that oil exists in Senkaku area. This is a turning point. 1971, June, Taiwan first claimed the dominion, and in December, China claims the dominions. 1972, Japan and China normalized the diplomatic relations. But just Senkaku is not a hot issue. But after the normalization with our relation with China, we provided just a huge amount of economic assistance to help China develop economies. But 1989, so-called Tiananmen incident occurred in China. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, many, many young Chinese people stood up, demanding the freedom, but they cracked down by the Chinese military forces. But in our understanding, Chinese government, Chinese Communist Party, decided to pursue two things. One is high economic growth, and also patriotic educations. Unfortunately, which contain a very anti-Japanese element. So both government struggling how to settle these issues, but it is highly unlikely, so difficult to find a common ground. This is a web page from the United States Defense Department. U.S. Defense Department has a great question about the transparency of the U.S. military expenditures. Largest red figures mean that maximum estimate by the U.S. Defense Department. The second largest figure is the minimum estimate by the U.S. Defense Department. The third red figure is the public side figures by the Chinese government, followed by Russia, Japan, India, and the Republic of Korea and Taiwan. So you can see the implications of this graph. So-called nine dotted line claims. As a matter of fact, China is insisting that almost all the South China Sea is Chinese territorial issues. Then, therefore, South Asian countries such as Philippines, Brunei, Malaysia, Vietnam has a serious territory conflict with China. A month ago, UN Center, unanimously issued a joint declaration expressing their just a serious concern over assertive behavior of China in these areas. And again, we are grateful to the United States. U.S. government officially declared that Senkaku is under the coverage of the Japan-U.S. security treaties. Our relation with South Korea. We have also a tragic history with Korea. Very much feel sorry to the Korean people. But as a matter of fact, one of the hot issues is the Korean comfort women issues. Maybe many of you heard about that. This issue is one of the tragedy occurred during the World War II. Japan is deeply sorry for the deep pain caused to these women. They're very, very much remorseful to that. Japan has worked hard to atone for its wrongdoing. After the war, very strong anti-Japanese feeling existed in South Korea. But both countries managed to normalize, establish diplomatic relations in 1965 by signing the kind of agreement. Japan also invaded, for example, Philippines, Indonesia, and Vietnam, for example. After the war, we concluded a treaty. The point of the treaty is Japan provided a huge amount of compensatory money. At the same time, this Philippines and Vietnam, many people try to claim that maybe a loss of the property, the loss of the lives. There are many, many claims. But this country just waived these claims. So this is therefore provided a huge amount of just a compensatory money to this government. But this government decided to waive a kind of just a claims resulted from the Japanese occupation. So we apply the same type of just arrangement. Point of the agreement with South Korea is just Japan agreed to give Korea a $300 million in grant aid and the $200 million in soft loans. And the Korean government agreed to waive all these claims resulting from the Japanese occupation, including the couple of women issues. We understand just many Korean issues were drafted. They have to go to war as a Japanese soldiers. Also, many Koreans were brought to Japan. They have to engage in the post-slavery. This is a historical fact. But as a result of the signing of the agreement, Korean government decided to waive all claims resulting from the Japanese occupation. But again, Japanese government decided to provide 300 million grant aid and 200 million soft loans. At that time, yen was so weak. Therefore, this is a kind of a big money for the Japanese government. Therefore, the agreement clearly mentioned that this problem have been settled completely and finally. This is the exact language of the agreement in 1965. But our country felt that we had to do more for the affected Korean women. Therefore, 1993, the Chief Cabinet Secretary, Mr. Kono, is a key minister of the Japanese government. On behalf of the Japanese government, issued a statement. He really expressed sincere apologies and the remorse, the recognizing that this issue was, with the involvement of the military authorities of the day, a grave affront to the honor and the dignity of the large number of women. So we clearly express sincere apology to the women. And also 1995, then Prime Minister Murayama issued a statement saying that Japan, through its colonial rule and aggression, caused a tremendous damage and a suffering to the people of many countries. And at the same time, a so-called Asian Women's Fund was established in order to offer atonement from Japanese people to the former wartime combat women. So from the fund, roughly $20,000, we provided just $20,000 for each woman as an atonement. And also providing medical and support programs. Also appointees, the Japanese prime ministers, also issued a letter to the woman with his signatures and seriously expressed a deep apology to these people. We are doing this kind of effort, but unfortunately, South Korean government still insisting, so Japan need to do more. So still there's a gap. So, but we are saying this issue was settled in 1965. And after that, we are doing more by using a kind of Asian Women's Fund. but still, there's a gap between the two governments. So still, there's a highly unlikely that we'll be able to find common ground as far as this issue is concerned. So it's up to you how to interpret these historical facts. Also, Takeshima is a really small island. Unfortunately, due to this very, very small island, still just our relation with Korea, South Korea, has deteriorated. As a matter of fact, 1905, Japan incorporated Takeshima, and also as a historical fact, 1910, Japan annexes Korea. But we surrendered to the Allied countries and signed the San Francisco Treaty in order to restore independence. The San Francisco Peace Treaty was signed in September 1951. But as a matter of fact, just July 1951, Korean ambassador in Washington, D.C. write a letter to the Secretary of State, Axon, claiming, asking the United States government support to the Korean positions. But that request was rejected by the State Department, a so-called RASC note, saying that Takeshima was, according to our information, never treated as part of the Korean, and since about 1905, has been under the jurisdiction of the Shimane Prefecture of Japan. The island does not appear never before to have been claimed by Korea. This is the point of the letters from the State Department. Then we signed the San Francisco Peace Treaties. And then 1952, then President Lisa Mann declared that just Takeshima is a great territory. But at the same time, July 1952, both Japan and the United States agreed to use Takeshima as a United States Air Force bombing range. But 1954, Korean government suddenly sent the military troops and occupied the island. But our government just immediately asked Korean government to go to the International Court of Justice to fix the issues, but rejected by the South Korean government. We concluded the treaty in 1965. The both government made an enormous effort to fix these issues. We are keeping asking the Korean government to go to the International Court of Justice, but rejected by the Korean government. Therefore, still unable to fix these issues. Still very, very hot issues between the two countries. So, still highly unlikely that we'll be able to find a common ground. Very sad situations. Anyway, my point is just post-Japan territory defined by the San Francisco Peace Treaty. Senkaku is agreed by the allied countries, integral part of Japan. Also, Takeshima is agreed by allied countries that Takeshima is integral part of Japan. But still just unable to establish a good relations with our neighboring countries. This is the reality. So both governments are making enormous effort to find a common ground. But the both leaders need to sit down together and try to talk in a quiet atmosphere. So our government, Prime Minister, always saying, doors open, hey, let's sit down together and let's talk in a quiet atmosphere. I do hope that both leaders will be able to find a common ground, find a good solutions for our future leaders. Now, may I talk, say something about the jet programs, totally different topics. Our government has been inviting just many, many prominent young people from all over the world. Japanese people learning English for a long, long time, but set the opportunity to meet with the foreign people and use English. Therefore, our government decided in 1986 to invite prominent graduate foreign students from all over the world. Last year, our government invited 1,600 prominent students from all over the world, but 800 are from these countries. These young prominent students teach English in the Japanese public schools for work in the local government and organize a kind of international exchange programs. Of course, hired by the Japanese government, so you can enhance your resumes. This is the total number of the JET participants. Due to the sluggish Japanese economy, the total number of the JET participants are slightly decreased. But more than 50% of the JET program are from these countries. So please try this program. And so, number one, I want you to understand Japan's security alliance is extremely important, and Japan's economy is rebounding toward increased prosperity. We are working hard to improve relations with our neighboring countries, but still long way to go. And the JET program increases multicultural awareness among youth across the world. And the Japanese young people are waiting for the wonderful American young people. In 2020, Olympic Games are going to be held in Japan. And also, Japanese people very much welcome the wonderful news that new U.S. ambassador to Japan is Ms. Carolyn Kennedy, daughter of the then President John F. Kennedy. We are very much grateful to that. The other day, I was listening to her statement in a Senate Foreign Relations Committee. She clearly mentioned that Japan is the most important developed country in the Asia-Pacific region for the United States. We are very much grateful to that. Thank you very much.